Gospel, we continue through Matthew's Gospel, and the reading is from the 13th chapter, beginning in the 24th verse. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. While everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. The servants of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, "Then do you want us to go gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at the harvest time I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" In our hearing, our speaking, our living, may God's word. I've been in the market for a new pillow. Suggestions welcome. You know, remember it used to be you had choice between two, maybe three? And now, oh my gosh, there's gel, memory foam, buckwheat, bamboo, layered pillows, side sleepers, back sleepers, down and down alternative, and the list just goes on. It's too many options. And looking around, I never saw any mention of a stone pillow. It bothers me that Jacob laid his head to rest on a hard rock. Now, wouldn't you think he could take off a tunic and roll it up? Or even take his sandals off and something a little softer than a rock? My neck hurts just to think about that. Jacob is running for his life. He manipulated his older brother Esau out of his rightful inheritance. He tricked his own father. And now he's on the run because Esau has vowed to kill him. So there is Jacob stopping in the dark of night to sleep. As he sleeps there with his hard head on a hard pillow, he dreams of a ladder that is stretching up beyond where he can see. Here, this vision comes to him. He sees angels, God's messengers, going up and down the ladder, constant motion, and he hears God speaking to him. It's like that moment in The Wizard of Oz, you know, where Dorothy wakes up, she's gone from black and white to full color. And he wakes up and sees this amazing, beautiful scene. And it all obviously makes a deep impression on Jacob. When he wakes up, he leaves that stone pillow there. He pours oil on it and blesses it. He names the spot Beth-El, which means house of God, which is why we have so many churches called Bethel. That's what it's from, house of God, a holy place. This less than perfect human being, no longer where he was, but not quite where he will be, finds God in that in-between place. Back in his home country, when he ever referred to God, he said to his father, "Your God." Now it's his God. And his life would not ever be the same. He received what he needed, stone pillow and all. Been reading a trilogy of novels by Deborah Harkness, and she has a line in one of the books that says, "All that children need is love, an adult to take responsibility, and a soft place to land." I think the same can be said for adults. We all need love. We need a sense that there is something larger and wiser and greater than we are. And sometimes we just need a soft place to land. Sometimes we find instead that we are like Jacob, alone in the dark, scared and anxious, not knowing where to go for help. Sometimes we may be tossing and turning, racked with guilt, or simply just lost. We search for that soft place to land, and instead all we find is a stone pillow. We survive one crisis only to meet the next one around the corner. We think, surely this tide is going to turn, and the next thing we know, the tide has picked us up and slammed us back on shore. Sometimes we need comfort, a soft landing, and all we get is something hard and unyielding. Sometimes we need a message, a reassurance, a word of hope from the Almighty, and we hear silence. In the 8th through the 10th century, some Irish monks tried to emulate Jacob's vision. And so they too used stones for pillows in the hopes that in doing so, God would send message to them, would speak directly to them. They are still excavating these stones in Ireland and Scotland, sometimes with a cross carved into them, but no reports that the stones led to a vision. And in a way, the good monks were missing the point. Jacob received the dream not because of anything he did. In fact, he received this vision when he was sound asleep. He hadn't earned it, planned for it, set the stage for it, studied for it. The vision came in spite of Jacob, in spite of all he had done. God found him when he was not in control, when he was at his most vulnerable. He didn't even have to climb the ladder. He only needed to wake up and notice it and listen. God's ladders are everywhere, all around us. God's messengers come in all shapes and sizes and colors and backgrounds. They remind us that holy ground shows up all the time. The place you are standing or sitting or being right now, even a place you didn't ever want to be, can be holy ground. When you slow down, allow the space to be empty enough for God to fill it. Moments and faces and so-called coincidences all speak of God's presence and steadfast promises to us. When we were at the preaching festival in San Antonio in May, we heard so many amazing preachers, and one or two I could do without ever hearing again, frankly, but most of them were really, really excellent. Rob Bell is probably the one who had the greatest effect on me. Rob Bell is, many of us studied his book a few years ago, Love Wins. He began as a fundamentalist preacher and had a huge church in Michigan, and then more and more he saw things from a different perspective. He heard a different message. He began to talk in far more inclusive ways of God's love for everyone. And sure enough, he was shunned by his colleagues. And he is still to this day. He now is in California, and he writes, and he preaches, and he lectures, and he's smart and funny and wise. He showed us a PowerPoint of pictures he had been taking. Some of them were quirky, like the person dressed up in this elaborate costume riding a bike down the street for no apparent reason. Some were poignant, like a child crying over a lost pet. Some were very ordinary, like the bright fluorescent lights of a CVS in the middle of a dark night. Some were just stunningly beautiful, like a photograph of the Iceland Cathedral. Who knew there was a place of such beauty? And what he said to us was that the world is handing us sermons every day if we watch. Notice everything he told all of us in the crowd. Start taking pictures of random things that just strike you. Turn the edit button inside you off. And anything that just in that moment speaks to you, record it, write it down, photograph it, remember it. And I've been trying to do that off and on in the last couple of months. I am not at all a good photographer. I am known for cutting off people's heads. But I'm trying to do better. I saw out at Guilford College on the side of a rundown little shack of a building this colorful graffiti painted. And in the middle of the graffiti with all the purples and blues and reds, there were the words painted in bold orange. And the words said, "I still love you." I took another photo of a mother cradling a newborn, could only have been 2 or 3 weeks old, and she just sang so quietly to that baby. And another one of a child just running through a fountain. Carefree. I'm trying to notice. I'm trying to practice Rob Bell's advice. I've been noticing the hundreds of good things you all have been doing. All of the wonderful things, trips out for ice cream and errands run and impromptu soccer games and food brought for Dot's reception and people staying to clean up, all kinds of things over and over. People just stepping up and saying, "What can I do?" I watch each day now for that sweet smile on Mateo's face or a little bit of a side hug from Antonio. They are God's messengers for me. And the more I notice all that is good around me, the less power all of the evil and the trouble has on my soul. The more I slow down enough to listen, the more I know all will be well. God is good and can be trusted in all things. That all life on this planet is connected, and that is a good thing. I think Rob Bell is right. So instead of sermons everywhere, I believe there are ladders everywhere. Some may tower up to the sky, but most of the ones I glimpse of are closer to the ground. Many run sideways, connecting us with people who care for us and love us and show up for us and do simple things like bring us food when we need it most. Ladders are often found in unexpected places. The woman who called one day wanting to do what she could to help because she once had known what it was like to have to flee with her mother from violence. Like the young reporter that was here on Sunday a couple of weeks ago who said he had been in churches and he had never felt welcomed like he did here. God's messengers. People who keep our hope up when we are running low, the teachers who teach us when we think we know everything, the friends who stick by us no matter how far we have roamed, those willing just to be with the hurting. Ladders can sound like a burst of laughter or a moment of quiet breathing. The world is alive with God's messengers. The next time you feel like all you've got in the world is a stone pillow and no one around who understands, the next time you feel worn out by all the effort and not a lot to show for it, or hemmed in by bad news and a chaotic world, stop and notice. There are ladders everywhere. The messengers and the message are showing up with no effort from you or me. They're not there to give unhelpful messages. They won't tell you, chin up, tomorrow will be a better day. Just get over it. They're there to tell you God is with you and loves you, and so are they. In the dark of night, in a place he did not want to be, with only a stone under his head, Jacob found God. He discovered the God who would accompany him and uphold him and guide him. He saw with his own eyes all the angels bearing that message of God's love and mercy and presence all around him. There would still be hard times to come. The angels weren't there to fix things for him, make it a smoother road, or give him a softer pillow. They were there to say he wasn't alone. And neither are we. Just look around you. We have lost some of the best of God's messengers in this church this year. There are more. Their message lives on. There are ladders disguised as pews. Someone sitting on yours might be one carrying a message for you, just as you might be carrying a message of God's love and mercy for them. So if I buy a much firmer pillow, will I see visions with ladders and angels? Maybe. Probably not. I'd pay a lot for that pillow. But if I keep my eyes open while I'm awake and notice who and what are around me, the simple and poignant and disturbing and awe-inspiring, the messages, the ladders will be there. Amen. go forth, watching for ladders, listening for the sound of angels, knowing that God is with you now and always. Go in peace. Amen.